भगवद्गीता 1.14 ततः श्वेतैर्हययुक्ते महती स्यन्दने स्थितौ माधव पांडवश्चैव दिव्यौ शंखौ प्रदद्मतुः ततः. सो नाउ इट इज डिस्क्राइब दैट वन साइड ऑन द कौरव साइड व्हाट वाज हैपनिंग हैज बीन डिस्क्राइब्ड टिल द 13th वर्स एंड नाउ Sanjay's television camera shifts to the Pandava side, and that is where it will rest for the rest of the Gita. And it describes here the first thing, Shvetair Hayair Yukte, as the camera moves on to the Pandava side, it looks at the horses, and they are strikingly beautiful. They are shining, white, majestic, powerful horses, the celestial steeds that Arjuna had got along with the chariot from Agni. Mahati syandane sthitau. Mahati syandane, to the magnificent chariot. Madhava Pandavaschaiva. So, Krishna and Arjuna are the normal names by which these two characters are referred to in the Gita. Of course, Krishna is referred to as Sri Bhagawan respectfully. But here, for the sake of poetic effect, two names which have an ending alliteration are used, Madhava and Pandava. Madhava Pandavaschaiva. And now, after describing this this location of the action, then the action is described. Divyau Shankhau Pradadmatuhu. Both blew their Divya, transcendental conscience. Now, in a movie, often the hero makes a dramatic entry. So, for example, suppose the hero is going to come to a scene and the hero has a posh car, and then the car, there is some, say, damsel in distress somewhere, and the hero comes charging in the car, and then the car opens up and the car door springs open, and then the hero jumps out, and then camera focuses on the shoes of the hero, polished shining shoes, and then the hero is wearing some jeans and the camera moves upward. And then you see the handsome form of the handsome heroic face of the hero, whatever, springing into action. So, there's a dramatic entry of the hero. Similarly, in this verse, we have the dramatic entry of the twin heroes, Krishna and Arjuna. Of course, Krishna is the Supreme Lord, and Krishna's entry is surprisingly, normally the hero will, if it's an action hero, and the hero will himself be driving the car and spring out of the car. He's driving the car itself adds some amount of virility and manliness, and the appeal of the hero increases. Or if the hero is a very wealthy aristocratic lord or something like that, then the hero will have a chauffeur, and then the chauffeur opens the door, and then the chauffeur comes out of the car and then goes back and holds the door respectfully open, and the hero comes out. That's how it would normally be. But here, we see that Krishna is the supreme hero, Nayakanam Shiromani. As he is known in the Bhakti tradition, among all heroes, he is the greatest hero. But what is he doing? He is taken up the humble station of a charioteer. Oh. Normally, the chauffeur is hardly ever the hero. The chauffeur is simply a humble assistant of the hero. And often no one gives much attention to the chauffeur. But here, Krishna has taken an equivalent position in the Vedic cultural context, that of a charioteer for Arjuna. And But people maybe think that, oh, this person who is just a charioteer is an ordinary person, not of much importance. But they would be immensely mistaken to think like this. Because Krishna is, as the Bhagavad Gita's narrative moves forward, will realize that he is Mattah Parataram Nanyat Kinchidasti Dhananjaya. There is no truth beyond him. There is no truth higher than him. He is the highest truth, as 7.7 in the Gita will declare. But here, it just described that he is situated in the chariot. So, Shvetair Hayair Yukte. That chariot, as the camera moves forward, the first thing that is seen is the steed of the chariot. Now, normally, when, say, one warrior gives a chariot as a gift to another charioteer, the chariot is given with the horses. It's like when a car is purchased, the car is purchased with wheels. But then if somebody wants a special car racing driver or something like that, and the person wants more custom-made wheels, then the person may take out the standard wheels of the car and replace them with some special customized wheels. But if there is some special, say, Formula One racing car or something like that, and the whole car is special and it comes with customized, not standardized, it comes with customized wheels also. So like that special car which comes with customized wheels, Arjuna's chariot which he's got from Agni is actually very special. It comes with extraordinary steeds. So Shvetair Hayair Mahati Syandane. A magnificent chariot. Arjuna got this chariot when he and Krishna were in the Khanda forest after the Pandavas had just returned to Hastinapur and had been given the half of the kingdom, which was the Khandava Prastha. And then they had just starting their efforts to make Khandava Prastha into a inhabitable, civilized and eventually prosperous place. So they were sitting on the outskirts of the city, talking at the edge of a forest. And at that time, a tall, effulgent looking Brahmin appeared. And that Brahmin was Agni. And he identified himself as such and told him that there was a king who gave me a lot of grain sacrifice. And he was so much that it spoiled my stomach. So I need to eat some medicinal herbs which are there in this attached, in the nearby forest, the Khanda forest. Though I have tried to do so, but Indra has, because his friend Takshaka is in this forest and he doesn't want him to be harmed. So he keeps pouring rains and that's why I cannot consume this forest. So please help me. I want this in charity. Now Agni is also Kshatriya, he's a Devta and the Devtas are Kshatriya generally. But then here in this particular role, Leela, he plays the role for Brahman and asks for charity. And Krishna and Arjuna playing the role of Brahmanas, they say, they immediately get up when actually the Brahmana comes. And then they, with folded hands, reverential look, they hear what he is saying, hear his request. And then they immediately agree to do what he is saying. But then Arjuna says that, no, I will definitely want to oblige you, to serve you, but I need a chariot. At this point, I don't have any chariot, which will be equal to this task. Arjuna definitely, as a member of the royal dynasty, had his chariots. But resisting and holding back the gods headed by Indra would be a formidable task and could not be done with an ordinary chariot. So the ordinary chariot would get destroyed just by the force of the celestial weapons. So if you can provide me a chariot and you can provide me a bow also, then I will be able to fight you and provide you the forest, fulfill your desire. So Agni consented and then he closed his eyes and meditated. And when he meditated, immediately he summoned Varuna, who lives a lot of the nether regions. And Varuna asked him, what can I do? And Agni told him that for Arjuna, please get deep in your waters. There is a huge bow, magnificent bow, along with the arrows. along with two inexhaustible quiver of arrows. Get that? And also, Soma, the moon god, has got a magnificent chariot. Get that chariot also. And then, within moments, Agni's desire was fulfilled by Varuna. And chariot came to... Chariot appeared right in front of Arjuna. Arjuna was stunned, amazed, thrilled to see such a magnificent chariot. And also he got the bow. So then he circumambulated the chariot and got up and climbed in and became ready to fight. At that time he used a gift that Agni had given, and by that he defeated all the Rakshasas who had occupied and contaminated and defiled and abused the forest and its resources. So that same heroic chariot, that same hero with the same heroic chariot is now here. And so that chariot, just like Agni, can spread in all directions very fast. So the chariot which Agni had provided was also capable of spreading in all directions and was going capable of taking the war in any direction and conquering warriors. So it was a magnificent chariot which he had, Mahati Sandane. And it's described that their conchs which they blew were also Divya. The word Divya comes most famously in the Bhagavad Gita in 4.9. Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam Evam Yo Vettitatvataha Tyaktva Deham Punar Janma Naiti Mameti So Arjuna. That, oh Arjuna, my birth and activities are Divya. Janma Karma Cha Me Divyam. Similarly here, the conch shell is described as Divya. So of course Krishna is transcendental and therefore his conch shell is also transcendental. Arjuna is of course not the Supreme Lord, but he's a devotee and is devoted to Krishna's transcendental cause. And because of that commitment to Krishna's transcendental cause, Arjuna's conch has also become transcendental, not in terms of constitution, but in terms of application. That means it may be made of material elements, but because it is being used in service of the Lord, it becomes spiritual. So, Krishna talks about this twice in 4.24, Brahma Arpanam Brahmavir, and then in 9.16, Aham Kraturaham Yajnaha. Both in 4.24, because he has not introduced himself as a subject, so he just talks about how all elements of the sacrifice become spiritualized, they become Brahma. But then in the 7th and 9th chapter, when he describes his own position quite clearly, then he describes actually how a devotee perceives what is the actual nature of the sacrifice. He says it's not just Brahma, but the Brahma in its highest manifestation is Krishna. Therefore, Aham Kraturaham Yajnaha. That actually one sees the various elements of the sacrifice as not just manifestations of some spiritual light, unknown spiritual light, but they are seen as manifestations of the known supreme spiritual person, Krishna. So basically, the relevant point for us is that because Arjuna is the devotee of the Lord, devoted to the cause of the Lord, so even his conch shell is described as transcendental. And from the Pandava side, the action begins with this verse, Divya Shankar Pradadmatuhu. They blew the conch shell. And just as Bhishma is blowing the conch shell, was the signal that triggered the blowing of conch shells and the playing of bugles and drums and bullhorns and other such things on the Kaurava side. Similarly, so the blowing of conch shells by Krishna and Arjuna will trigger off the blowing of conch shells by the other Pandava leaders, and that will be mentioned in the next verse. So it's interesting that although Dhrishtadyumna is the commander, the first conches are blown by Krishna and Arjuna. That's because everybody knows that Arjuna is the greatest warrior and everybody knows that Krishna is the greatest person. At least everybody on the Pandava side knows that. And that's why de facto they made all the decisions. And Krishna and Arjuna, by their example, demonstrate. Arjuna also did not take the position of a commander, although he could well have, based on his competence. But just as Krishna did not become the king of the Yadu dynasty, but remained a courtier and advisor to the king Ugrasen. So both Krishna and Arjuna demonstrate the principle that contribution is more important than position. That if one can do contribution to a good cause, then one doesn't have, that's what is important, one doesn't have to occupy the biggest position within that cause. So Dhrishtadyumna had the position of the commander, but de facto Krishna and Arjuna were the prime movers in the Pandava army, and that is seen from the fact that it is in response to the blowing of the conch shell by the commander of the Pandava army, by the Kaurava army, the first conch shell that is blown on the Kaurava side, sorry, on the Pandava side, is the conch shell of the two transcendental personalities, Krishna and Arjuna. Thank you.